Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Verse 14. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. The title for the sermon is God's Timing, which indeed is a mysterious thing sometimes to us. Why was it that Jesus waited another 2 days before going? The miracle was going to be the raising of Lazarus, which, of course, it's a foretaste, an hors d'oeuvre, a tucked away promise of all that is to come and of what we are going to be celebrating in 2 weeks. Or actually, what we have been celebrating for almost 2,000 years. It's the promise that God has given to so many families, so many faithful throughout our land, throughout the world, to the families among us and in our circle, of Marcia and of Ken and of Herb and of Jennifer. It's the promise that God has given that their loved ones, no matter what it looks like, are not lost, but that as Jesus did with Lazarus, so he will do for us. Just one chapter earlier, John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And we are asked to picture that day when, if we have left this earth to join Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Peter and Paul and all the saints in heaven, on that day when Jesus returns, he will reunite us with our bodies, raised and glorious and transformed into his image. Picture for a moment the scene after Lazarus was unwrapped. Picture the emotion, the celebration, the gladness, the rejoicing. And some say that religious people don't know how to celebrate, but picture that day. The day of the resurrection will not be boring, will it? But surrounding the miracle is a struggle between belief and doubt in the hearts of those who stand in the presence of the miracle. Mary and Martha, the disciples, especially, as you heard earlier, Thomas, the other Jews who received Jesus and loved him. And then there's us in the struggle between belief and doubt. There has to be time for all of that to flesh out. Little detour. I've studied over the years those who do stand-up comedy. One of the phrases that one of them said is, you have to let the joke breathe. It's a matter of timing. Because if you rush through too quickly, then you reveal where you're going before people have had the time to let the premise sink in. Jesus holds back. He knew that Lazarus was sick. He knew that Lazarus was in a sickness that was going to end him up in the tomb. And he stayed away. Have to let the whole situation and the question of, is God there? Does God act? Will he remember his promises? You have to let that work its way into the awareness of God's people. Now notice how the miracle is surrounded by statements of unbelief. Lord, if you had been here, that's from Martha. Lord, if you had been here, and that's from Mary. From Thomas. Let us also go along and die with him. From Martha, I know he will rise at the day of the resurrection. From the loving Jewish friends, see how he loved him. Could not he who healed the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Part of the purpose of the miracle is to confront the unbelief. Confronting in the way that God confronts, by bringing his good news, his acts, his miracles. The purpose of the miracle is to call to faith. Here we see it dealing with the stubbornness of unbelief, the weakness of trying to grasp the full meaning of the promises of God. The final visible result of unbelief that started out with Adam and Eve and led to death coming to all men. But this is what the Word of God is intended to heal. And so Jesus holds back 2 more days, and then he goes. He goes there. He goes to the grave, to the place of sorrow and tears, to the tomb with the 4 days' smell of death. Because that is what he does. He goes there to all of those places in our lives. And such is the way of God, who with his grace and his mercy interrupts back in the Old Testament. He interrupted the Israelites there on the one shore of the Red Sea, fully expecting to be dying at the hands of the Egyptian army. He interrupts by opening the sea. Such is the way of God, who interrupts Jonah's perfectly good sulk. And Jonah's running away. And he does so by sending a storm and a great fish specially prepared. And such is the way of God, who interrupts Mary outside the tomb. And the disciples along the road to Emmaus. And then in the upper room, the disciples who were having a perfectly good meltdown of despair and tears, and interrupts them by surprising them with life. The people there in Bethany, they were having a very good funeral with mourning and tears and sitting together, and Lazarus was in the tomb and Mary and Martha were weeping, and the friends were all gathered around to comfort them. Perfectly good funeral. But they had not counted on Jesus coming along and throwing all of that into a mess of confusion. How can you have a perfectly good funeral when the dead person isn't in the tomb anymore? What do you do with all that food? Have a feast, maybe. Actually, they had one. And it was the weekend that ended with Palm Sunday. And Lazarus was there. And Mary anointed Jesus' feet. And then Jesus rode into Jerusalem. To face the sting of death. And the sting of death is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, in the Old Testament, the Israelites are on the other shore of the Red Sea. And they're singing and dancing and celebrating that they're not dead. And the Apostle Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, helps to lead the mockery of death and hell. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And there is a little of that flavor in the manner of the appearances of Jesus risen on that first Easter. Surprising Mary. And then the two on the way to Emmaus, and then the disciples in the upper room. Surprising. Surprising us. So that we may continue to wonder at the grace and be amazed at the unexpectedness, the God doing it all nature of his acts. We're coming up on April 1st. That is this Wednesday. So often happens that it is right around Holy Week and Easter. April 1st, April Fools. The devil, thinking he could destroy Jesus, attacked, and in the attacking was destroyed himself. We talk about death swallowing him up, but now death has been swallowed up itself. And the law turns and acknowledges that all of its demands have been met in Jesus Christ, and we are set free. And God continues to show his grace and mercy to us who struggle between doubt and belief. And again, he tells us of his love, of his dying and rising for us, of his promises. In Jesus' name, amen.